to begin on Pezayin Amud Beis, nine lines down. But first, let's just review what we know. We had on Pezayin Amud Aleph a suffix of Rabbi Lazar about someone was chovel bebas ktana shel achirim, and the question was, who collects the dmei chavola? And Rabbi Lazar was very unsure about this. He vacillated back and forth. The Gemara explains the two tzadim, until finally, on the top of Daf Pei Zayin Amud Beis, Rav told Rabbi Lazar that the father does not have a schus to collect his daughter, his ketana's dmei chavola. He can only collect Kesef Kidusheha, but he doesn't have rights to collect the Tashlume Chavola. At the end, the Gemara says that Rav himself would be Moda that Sheves, that means unemployment, that payment of the Chovel goes directly to the father, and the reason for that is because Maisi Yodeha Liaviha. And that's based on the Pasuk Benureh Beis Avir, which means that any income, any wages that she earns accrue to the father, and therefore the Chovel, by delaying the Ketana's ability to work and earn these wages, has in effect damaged and caused a financial loss to the father. And that's what we saw before. Now, we have two brisos, and one brisa we saw in the last year. We'll have to review that brisa as a jump off for today's year. The brisa says, we'll call it brisa number one, that if the father himself is chovel and he injures his son, then if his son is a gadol, then the money goes directly from the father into the gadol's pocket. If, on the other hand, the ben is a katan, the money has to be left in escrow. And that is beskula, which we'll see what skula is today, Mirtz Hashem, and that money is going to be collected by the son, in the case of a katan, when he becomes mature. Then the brisa continues and says, hachovel bebito ketana, if he injures his own daughter, then we have a special reason why he doesn't pay in the case of a ketana. And not only that, if others pay, if others were chovel his daughter who's a ketana, they pay the father. So we're going to get to that in a minute. And again, certainly the father could collect sheves. According to Rav, however, the father cannot collect any of the other five Tashlume Chavola, because those go directly to the Ketana. However, that money will be placed, as we said before, in an Otsar, or in the Gemara's language, in a Skula. The Gemara now, and this is the Sugya that we want to begin today, is going to quote another Brisa. This we'll call Brisa number two. And the brisa says the following. First, we'll read the introductory few words to this kasha and to this second brisa. Ubibno hagodol yitein lo miyad. Is it really so that if the father injures his son who's bar mitzvah, he, the father, pays dmei chavola, tashlum chavola, to his ben immediately? Meaning you don't have to wait till he becomes mature, he's already mature. Viraminhu, we have a stiratus price number two that says Hachovel Bibanov Ubibnosov Shelachirim Gidolim Yitain Lahem Biyad Ktanim Yasalem Skula. So far so good. If others damage by injuring a child, if the child is mature enough, the money goes from the chovel to the mature child directly. If the child is a katan, then the money is put, as we called it, in escrow, in a skula. But here's the part of the brisa that's going to be problematic. It says bebanav ubimnosav shalo, if he injures his own son or daughter, potter, he doesn't pay any damages. Now, the two points that we want to make. The Brisa in the Sefer, Brisa number two in the Sefer, Banav Ubnosav Shalo, does not differentiate between a Gadol and a Katan, implying that even in the case of a person who's Chovel Bebanav HaGadol, he still is exempt from paying Tashlumin, and that is in direct contradiction to the first Brisa that established that he, the father, has to pay his son, who's a Gadol, immediately. And point number two is that with regard to the payment for a father who injures his daughter, the impression we got from Bryson number one is that true, if the daughter's a katana, then the father is patur, which we don't know why yet. We're going to try to analyze that. But if she, the daughter, is a gedola, then the father should be paying the gedola. Here, the second Brisa, it doesn't differentiate between Banov, Ubnosov, Hagdolim, or Ketanim. And in both cases, the father is Potter. Why is that? Amri, Lokash, the Gemara now reconciles the two Brisos. Kan, Kisha Smuchim al Shulchanu, V'kan, Kisha Ein Smuchim al Shulchanu. Let's talk for a minute about Banov Ubnosov HaGadolim. The father is not obligated by halacha, by law, to support the children. They're already mature. And yet, he can opt to do so. And perhaps we would encourage him to do so, to support his children, even though they gdolim, until such time as they can stand financially independent and earn their own wages. And therefore, if the father is supporting his children, again, we're talking about gdolim, that's called smuchim al shulchano, otherwise called mizonoseim olaf. He took upon himself to support them, to put food on the table for them, etc. Now, when the brisa in brisa number two says that the father does not pay damages to his son or his daughter, and we're talking about gedolim, that's talking about a case of smuchim al shulchano. In smuchim al shulchano, the halacha bends over backwards to do whatever it has to do and establish whatever it has to establish to encourage the situation to continue, that the father should support his children. And in order to encourage the father to continue that financial commitment on his part, we must be sensitive to his needs or to his feelings. That may sound strange, but we want to play on his feelings in a positive way so that he will continue to support his children, even though technically, according to the strict law, he's not obligated to do so because they're already gedolim. And one of the methods that the halacha uses and this is the second brisa, to encourage the father to continue that commitment to support his children, is to avoid any situation where they, the children, will be tovea the father for payments, for penalties, or for compensation. Now we're addressing the case where the father was chovel bebanov ubibnosov, meaning either his son or his daughter. Obviously, he violated a law of doraisa. Obviously, he should be paying dmei chavola. There's no question about that. But on the other hand, the halacha wants to establish that let's not jeopardize that positive energy on the part of the father to support his children. That's called smuchim al shulchano. And the halacha states or premises that if the child will now sue his father in a court of law for damages, in this case for chavola, that will create something called eva. Eva is a certain friction that does not bode well, does not create the right ambiance for the encouraging the father to continue his commitment. In the first price, however, the father has to pay. We have no inhibitions to stand on the strict letter of the law and let the son or the daughter, if they're gedolim, sue their father. And why is that? Because the brisa that says that hachovel, where is it? Hachovel bibno agadol is yiten lo miyad, ubno akaton yaselo skula. That's a case of ein smuchin al shulchano. And therefore we can go back to the strict original letter of the law. There's no need to have any compassion on the father. Let him pay tmei chavol as he should. And we're not going to have any, you know, any compunctions or any inhibitions about being tovea the father, about the son being tovea the father, because in any event, the father is not supporting the son. We can even add another element. Not only are we lacking or disinterested in Eva, but at the other hand, we are interested in the son being able to support himself. And if he's now injured, then how's he going to support himself? Therefore, compensate him for that injury, for that assault. However, keep in mind that the Braisa speaks about a chovel bibno hagadol, and then the Braisa jumps to hachovel bibito ktana. And as I indicated before, we have to figure out why would the chovel be, the father who's a chovel, be exempt from paying his daughter. Now she's a ktana, so again we put it into the skula, but let him pay. And that's going to be the next question in the Gemara. B'mayu kimtel kamaisa. Let's go back to the first braisa that says the reason why, in the case of a chovel b'no agadol, we are omed al ikar ad-din, on midas ad-din, and the b'no agadol will sue his father and collect damages immediately to make chavol. That's because ein b'she'ein smuchen al shulchano. We have no vested interest to be compassionate on the father, to avoid and circumvent any kind of lawsuit from the son against his father because of encouraging the father to continue relationship, a commitment. The father has no commitment. He's not supporting his son. So let's go back to Ikar Adin. But Ihachi, if that be the case, if we're talking about Ein Smuchen al Shulchano, Ema Seifa Chovel Bebito Aktana Potur, why shouldn't then the father pay damages for Chavola to his bas haktana, again putting it into skula, because he's not supporting her? Now there is a din that maisa yodea accrue to the father. That means any monies that come in to a ktana, any wages or anything she earns, those monies accrue to the father of this bas ktana. And as a result, or shall we say quid pro quo, in a corresponding way, he, the father, supports his daughter. That's called a chiyuv mizonos. She's a ketana. Her monies, which are called maisi yodea, go to him. And on the other hand, he has to support her. But in this case, it's ein smuchen al shulchan aviv, which means, bottom line, he's not supporting her. Why then shouldn't the father be paying Dmei Chavola if he injured his daughter? Not only that, the Braisa continues, the first Braisa, V'lo od el acherim shechovlu b'achayom liten l'avia. The Braisa establishes, we saw earlier, that if Yenim, if somebody damages and injures the daughter, the ketana daughter of someone, he pays the father the dmei chavola. Why is that so? L'dida boy l'meisavla. He, the chovel, in that case, the acherim, should be paying directly to the bas, which is the ikar adin. And deboy mizone, since the father is not supporting his daughter, even if we assume that Achirim Shechovlu Ba Chayovim Liten Lavi is a reference to Sheves, and clearly the other four payments would go directly to the boss, even according to Braisa number one, even so, the Shevis itself should be paid and delivered to the hands of the boss, the boy Mizone. Certainly she could use that money to make up for lost wages, which she needs to support herself if the father himself is not supporting her. If he's not giving her Mizonos, where's she going to get Mizonos from? Hello, what? Let's say she took a job, I don't know what. Again, she's a katana, it's hard to understand and imagine, but maybe she's strong like Rivka 3. Be that as it may, her collection of Sheves from the Chovel is something that's absolutely essential for her. Why should they be paying the father? And furthermore, this whole idea that the father is not supporting his daughter when she's a katana is a little bit weird. Because although there's a sugyan gittin yud beis that presents a controversy about an eved ivri, an eved kanani, and that is whether or not the adon is obligated under all circumstances absolutely to support the eved kanani. According to one Madiyomer, he must support the eved kanani. After all, the Eved is working for him, so the work and the value of the wages is going to the father, to the Adon, then he certainly should be supporting the Eved. But there is one man, the Omar, Yochol Harav Lomali Eved Asei Mi Vieni Zoncha. The master who owns this Eved has the right to say, you have to work for me, but I don't have to support you. Hani Mili, the Eved Knani, the Omar Lei, the Adon has right to say to the Eved, Ovid Avidita Kule Yoma, work for me during the day, Uli Urtan at night, Zil Schar, which literally means go around and knock on doors in order to receive your Mazonas Vechol and support yourself. But again, that's a Mandiomer in Eved Knani, but Eved Aval Eved Ivri Dichsivbo, the Torah says in Dvarim Tesvav Ki Tov Lo Imach, which means do good with you, together with you. Imach b'machol v'imach b'mishteh. You know, you have to feed him and you have to give him drink. That's your relationship to an Eved Ivri. And Chazal say Kona Eved Kona Rabo, and it's if he has only one pillow, he has to share it with the Eved. Is low in such a case, the Adon who owns the Eved Ivri has no right to say, you go out and support yourself, the Kolshken Bito, and how much more so in the case of the Bas, she is a Ketana, she's not a Shivcha, how does the father have the right to say that he's not supporting her? And if, for some reason, he has the Eved writes to say, I'm not going to support her, then certainly any Maisi Adeh go to her. And therefore, when it comes to the Chovel, in terms of this Bas HaKtana, he should certainly be paying Sheves to the Bas and not to the father. That's called Acherim Chovela. They should give, instead of to the father, the Dmei Sheves, they should certainly give the Dmei Sheves to her, because after all, the father is no longer the owner of her Maisi Adayim, because if he's not supporting her, as we said, because the first price is talking about a case of Eina Smucha Al Shulchan Aviv, Shulchan Avia in this case, then for sure he doesn't have rights to collect her Maisi Adayim. So why does the Shevis go to her? We're really in a brach over here. And the Gemara answers, Kida Omar Rava Bered Rav Ula. Now, this Ukimto, which the Gemara is about to present to explain the first brisa, is a borrowed Ukimto. It's grafted from another sugya in Ksubis on Daf Mem Gimel. We'll mention quickly the sugya. The sugya is not really directly parallel to our sugya, but there's one Ukimto there, one Echatimtza, one scenario that we'll borrow and graft and paste onto our sugya. What's the case in Ksuvis? When a father dies, the Yerusha goes to the boys, to the sons. However, from that estate, the girls have to be supported. and quid pro quo again, the maisi adayim, any assets of the daughters will go back into the estate. And if the daughter, let's say, wins the lottery, that lottery money will go into the estate. But that's conditional on the fact that she is receiving parnasa, receiving mizonos. Again, in that mutual reciprocal relationship that we mentioned before, hamaisi adayim go to the estate, and the estate has to pay a mizonos. However, the Gemara has a case in which she, the daughter, is allowed to pocket her own wages rather than kick them back into the estate. And they don't go to the Yarshim, to the boys who are inheriting their father. And that's a case, says the Gemara, where they are not, or the estate is not, forking over to her money for mizonos. And therefore, since there's this quid pro quo relationship between mizonos and maisi adayim, she's not getting mizonos, she doesn't have to give in her maisi adayim. And Rava there, Rava Bered Rav Ula, in that case, says the following. Lo nitzricha, that halacha applies, elo leha adofa. When do we say that she can keep her maisi adayim, any monies that come into her possession? That's only because, again, there's no mizonos that she's collecting, kinega de maisi adayim. And Rava addresses the following scenario. Suppose, for example, the maximum amount of mizonos she needs, not the case that we mentioned before where she's not collecting any mizonos. She is collecting mizonos, but it reaches 100. She goes out, gets a job, and she earns 150. The 100 that she earns has to go back into the pot. That has to go to the Yarshim, into the estate. And the reason for that is simple, because that 100 is needed by the estate to support her. However, the extra 50, the increment between what she needs for mizonos and what her maisi adayim reached, she got a really good job with high-paying wages, that extra money, that increment goes to her. That's when the Gemara says that maisi adayim mitziyasa liatzma, the Gemara in Ksubis. In any event, what we're borrowing from that Gemara is a concept called hadafa. And hadafa, again, just to define it, means when maisi adayim exceed mizonos, that extra amount that passes above and beyond the X of mizonos, that's called hadafa. And the Gemara is borrowing that statement of Rav about hadafa here, applying it here in our sugya to explain the first price. So chenami lo nitzricha el hadafa. When it says in the brisa that the father could collect the Dmei Chavola V'Acherim, or alternatively, the father is potter from paying Dmei Chavola to his daughter. And again, according to Rav, that means he's potter from Sheves because he has collection of Har Maisi Adayim. However, Hadafa means that now the Dmei Chavola exceed beyond hamizonos. And the father, insofar as he has rights to maisi adayim, again, if he's not giving her maisi adayim, then certainly she needs the dmei chavola and deserves the dmei chavola from achirim to support herself. And so too, he has to give her dmei chavola if he assaulted her. However, that's only within the context, within the framework of this give and take of, you know, he gave her mizonos, she gets maisi adayim. I'm sorry, he gave her mizonos and her maisi adayim go to him. Now we're talking about a case of hadafa. And in that case of hadafa, you cannot argue against him, well, why didn't you give your daughter maisi, why didn't you give her mizonos, and therefore you have to forfeit the right to her maisi adayim? No. The maisi adayim here do not correspond to the amount of money for mizonos. So it means that all of the Dmei Chavol now is made up, is constitutes two different elements. Right? X plus Y equals the Dmei Chavol. The X is the amount of money she needs to support herself. If he's not supporting her, certainly those Dmei Chavol go to her. The Y is the money of the Dmei Chavol that exceeds beyond the price tag of Mizonos. And again, we're seeing Dmei Chavol as a kind of Maisi Adayim in this equation, but it's a Hadafa means the Maisi Adayim that go beyond the Dmei Mizonos. And that element of Dmei Chavol that exceed beyond the Mizonos, that's something that the father has rights to. In other words, we're going to knock off the father's rights to the basic Maisi Adayim, or Dmei Chavol, if you will, that correspond to Mizonos. That she gets to pocket because he's not supporting her. But extra monies from this Dmei Chavol beyond her Mizonos, that's called Hadafa, he has rights to. And I'm going to assume now that his rights to Maisi Adayim are a basic halacha, maybe even a doraisa. We'll have to see about that as we go along. And he has rights to Maisi Adayim. Again, he doesn't have rights to Maisi Adayim so far as his obligation to support her. She's a katana. But Maisi Adayim above and beyond the Mizonos, the money she needs for support, that comes under the general basic halacha of Maisi Adayim li'aviha. The Gemara now goes back to analyze the second brisa, brisa number two. V'mayu kimtel b'risa. To the second brisa, b'smuchin al shulchano, that the father is supporting his children, his daughters and his sons, and that's why he, the father, is not chayv to pay dmei chavola, because as we said before, we want to avoid eva at all costs and encourage the father to continue his commitment to support his children. Gedolim yiten lem miyad ktanim yasem skula mai liavim boy lemesvei. Why does the brisa say that if someone was chovel in his children who are gedolim, then the money of dmei chavola accrues to the children? Why should it go to the children themselves if we want to avoid eva? Is Lavim Boile Mesve. Just like we saw in the Resha, that if someone was Chovil Bibonov, he, the father, injured his son, he doesn't pay because we want to avoid Ava in the case of Smuchan al Shulchano. Others who pay should be paying to the father himself. And there should be an equation here. To the same extent, the father doesn't have to pay the children for Dmei Chavola because he want to avoid any sort of lawsuit. So too, if others are paying, we want that money to go to the father. And once again, that's going to be within the context of Smuchim al Shulchano, where in Smuchim al Shulchano, we want to do everything in our power to set up Maisi Adayim to the father. And we defined Dmei Chavol as Maisi Adayim. Oh. Amri. So the Gemara offers a reason why father is exempt from paying Dmei Chavol when he injures his son, is because in the Smuchat al Shulchano we want to avoid Ava, we want to encourage him to continue that commitment. In other words, he's going to be makpid. The father will be very sensitive and almost insulted, if I can use that word, if his sons will now, his children will now sue him, the father, for damages, for Dmei Chavola. So Gemara says, Kikav Kapid. This is only if the father is very sensitive. If the obligation, if the commitment on the father to pay damages will derail the father, will upset the father, and perhaps bring him to the state of mind where he wants to discontinue his support for them. And under what circumstances do we assume that the father will be makpid? B'midi deka chaser. In other words, if money is taken away from him, meaning if he was chovel in his children and now the children will sue him, he's going to have to take money out of his bank account to pay those mechavola for the sake of this relationship called Samach al Shulchano, and to avoid Eva, we're going to exonerate the father from paying damages, because money from his bank will be removed from his bank account. He's going to take a financial hit. Oh, but b'midei di asa me'alma, if somebody else was chovel in his son, and now new monies will come in a sense we could call it profits, because the Dmei Chavol that's being paid by Acherim to the father, a pure prophet, he never had that money, is low makpid, low kupid. In that case, the father's not makpid if he doesn't receive the Dmei Chavolah. He gets angry if he's being sued for damages and he has to take money out of his bank account. He won't get angry, he won't get sensitive if new monies are coming into his daughter or to his son as Dmei Chavolah. And the Gemara now asks a stira from a Mishnah in Bava Metzia. A little background to the next question of the Gemara. The Gemara, the Mishnah in Bava Metzia Yud Beis, tells us that if a child, and we're talking about a katan or a katana, finds a lost item, then the child is allowed to pocket that money. And Rabbi Yochanan is hard-pressed to understand this Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Mitzias b'no u'bito k'tanim harei hein shalo. And Rabbi Yochanan understands that if the father is supporting his son, he, the father, has rights to any monies that the son accrues, that come into the son's hands. And that should include a Mitzia as well. And Rabbi Yochanan therefore explains that the word katan here should not be taken literally, because it doesn't depend upon the age of the child. It simply depends on the father's following through with his commitment, if he has such a commitment, to support his children. Even if they gdolim, he has to support them. And therefore, when the Mishnah establishes that if the children find some new monies, those monies have to go into the father's bank account, says Rabbi Yochanan, even if those children are mature children, but nevertheless, it's a quid pro quo relationship because they're smuchim al shulchan aviv. In any event, when it comes to mitziah, we're not talking about money that has to come out of the bank account of the father. We're talking about pure profit, new income that's coming into his rishus. And yet, we're assuming that in order to encourage the relationship of smuchim al shulchan aviv, the father's commitment to support his children, he, the father, will collect this maisi or dayim, even if it's pure profit. And therefore, if we apply that to the case of Dmei Chavola, and we define and categorize Dmei Chavola as new money and profit that's coming into the family possession, then the father's going to be makpid in a case of Samach al Shulchan Aviv, to receive these monies, even if the monies are pure profit. So even if I define Dmei Chavol as a kind of a mitziah, meaning it's revach, it's profit, nevertheless the father should have rights to that. Amri, so the Gemara answers, Rav chadaka asi lehu me alma, les lehu tsara de gufayu begava. He's copied. There are two categories of new monies and profits coming in. There is profits that do not, in order to achieve them, in order to earn them, you don't need any tsar de gufa, you don't need any physical pain. In such a case, the father says, you know what, I want those profits for myself. And that's called kapid. Aval chabola de islu tsar de gufayu. So now we have two elements. Number one, chabola is new money. And number two, this money is being paid for the tsar, for the pain that the nechbal, in this case the katana, suffered. Is me'almaka asulahu, since this revach has come from someone else and it's being paid to replace or to compensate for tsar, the father's not losing a dime if the money from the acher and the chovel goes to the daughter. is low kapit, and therefore he doesn't mind whether the son or daughter receives that money. But other monies, including mitzia, he's makpid on. Again, all under the premise that we're talking about smukhan al shulchan aviv. The Gemara is still not happy. What about if we go back to the first brisa? Now, if you recall, we said that the first brisa was talking about a case of ein smukhan al shulchan aviv. So the Gemara asks for a hasam in that brisa, if others damage his bas ktana, and there we have both conditions fulfilled, the isla tsara degufa umi alma kosile, this pure prophet, and she has physical pain, and yet the brisa assumes the kakop in the ktani, the brisa says laod ela achirim shechavlu ba chayovim litein lavia. In other words, if others damaged her, this bas ktana, the monies go to the father. Why did the monies go to the father? In this case, he shouldn't be makpid. Why shouldn't he be makpid? Number one, this the compensation is for tzara the gufa. Number two, it's pure profit mealma cost. He's not taking any money out of his bank. Gemara answers, Amri, hasam, in that first price, what's the case? The Gavra Kabdonahu. We have to take into consideration the fact that it's Eno Samach al Shulchan Aviv. And if it's Eno, why is he so cruel, so to speak, and he's not willing to support his children? The answer is he's a Gavra Kabdona. The Ein Smuchet al Shulchano. Is therefore Afilu B'midi the Asilu Mi'alma Kopit. He's Makpid. Even on something that's pure profit, and even on something that's being paid as compensation for Tzara de Gufa. So he's not losing anything, the monies are coming for Tzara de Gufa. And Achirim Chavlu Behem, they paid Tmei Chavol to Avihem. And why? Because if it's Eino Samach al Shulchano, is the father is Makpid. He's a Kabdon. Now, it's a little bit strange that because he's a Kabdon, he's not supporting his children. He now collects their chavola. The only way I think we can grasp this sugya is by saying that if the father is makpid, that's like a neutral situation. Meaning, then we go back to Ikar Adin. The zchus of the father, and we touched on this before, but we didn't get into detail, is in Maisi Adesh Albask Tanolavir, who's Minat Torah. You know, just like the father can marry off his daughter, she's a ketana, and receive the kesef kedushin, so too he receives ma'isi adel shel bas ketana min haTorah. And that's a sugi at the beginning of kedushin. It's also in the third parak of Ksubis, the fourth parak of Ksubis. Is therefore, when we talk about sheves, in the case of chavola, that sheves has to go to the father. Again, there's an element in that Sheves, as we discussed before, that's necessary for her mizonos, if she's enos muchal shukhanovit, but at least the other element, which is called hadafa, that goes to the father because of his rights to maisi yadayim, which are doraisa. Again, some of that maisi yadayim he has to forfeit for the sake of her mizonos, and that he has no right to collect. But as far as the hadafa is concerned, which is pure maisi adayim, that he doesn't have to fork over. That's the case of kopi. Adarabba. The chiddush here is the next line in the Gemara. And that is, hacha, in the second brisa, the lav gavra kapdonu, where the father is supporting his children, the ha smuchem al shulchano, that's a case where he's so forthcoming that there's a new halacha of Eino Kabdin, Lav Gavra Bar Kabdonahu. And therefore, Kiko Kopi, we have to know when he is Makpid, if he has this kind of a very large, you know, he's large, as the Israelis say, you know, he's very pacifying and forthcoming. Is Kiko Kopi, because he doesn't want to give up on monies that are his. He doesn't want to suffer any loss, but midi di asi luhu me alma. But something that's coming from the outside, that's pure revach, is lo kapit. And again, we have to add that other element here, that it's a revach with a tsar de gufa, because otherwise we have the problem of mitziyasa. And in this case, that the dmei chavola are revach haba me'acherim, it's coming mi'alma. He doesn't lose any money if she collects that those dmei chavola. And not only that, she's collecting them as compensation for her personal suffering, her tsar, is lo kapit. In such a case, he, the father, is not kapit. This is like a new halacha of mechila, so to speak. Again, lechora maisi adayim is his, and that's a din Torah. And if that's a derais halacha, even in the case of dmei chavola, which are pure profit, mi'alma, paid by a chirim, and he's not suffering any loss, but nevertheless he should have rights to them. And if he's a kabdon, as we saw, because it's eno samuk shulchan aviv, then he has rights to collect that. But here, in the case of samuk al shulchan aviv, paradoxically, because of his compassion, therefore he gives up this money that's not a loss, and that's going to be a compensation for his daughter's suffering and her tsar. I wanted to point out to you again, take a look at the last line in Tosus on the page. He says, Shema omdu chachomim daito shel ov, v'yodim shemochalem mishum de tsar de gufa midilo chaser bei. So in the case of Dmei Chavola that are being paid by some Acherim who were guilty of being Chovel Abito Akhtana, and it's Samach al Shulchan Aviv, that's a case where the Chachamim had this Umdun of Mechila in the Lashon HaTosfos, that they assume that he was Mochel these Dmei Chavola because he's not losing anything and it's compensation to replace Hatzar. You remember before that we discussed in the Braisa that if someone is Chovil B'Katan and the Katan now has rights to collect Dmei Chavola, the money is put in a skula. So the Gemara now addresses the question, my skula, what is this skula? Is Rav Chisda Omar Sefer Torah? Rabbi Barav Huna Omar Dikla Di Ochel Minei Tamrei. We want to put the money into something which will benefit the child. And by buying a Sefer Torah, says Rav Chisda, allowing the child to use the Sefer Torah all his days, and any Kriya that he, and Talmud Torah that he learns in the Sefer Torah is called Peros, and the Keren itself is Kayemes Lo Li'olam, which means that he owns the Sefer Torah, plus he's able to enjoy the benefits from the Sefer Torah, read the Sefer Torah. And that's the way Rav Chisda sees the best way of investing that money. Rabbi Rav Huna says, no, we have to see that there's actually material benefits, that the peros are actually physical and concrete. And therefore, let's buy him a dekel tree, and he, the child, can eat the dates from this dekel tree. Dekel tree is a date tree. And again, the keren itself, the tree itself, is kayemes lo li'olam. He'll always have the tree itself. So that's a very good investment, so to speak, in putting the money into escrow. Why dafka, according to Rav Chisda, Sefer Torah? Why not any Sefer, all Svarim? And the answer is because there's a mitzvah to write a Sefer Torah. And by giving, by investing this money in the purchase of a Sefer Torah when the child is a katan, that will save him all that money when he's a gadol. And the indication here in my mind is that the mitzvah is not the purchase of the Sefer Torah, the acquisition of the Sefer Torah, but the owning of the Sefer Torah. Now at this point, the Gemara goes back to Rav, and we began on the top of Pei Zayin Amid Beis with Rav, and Rav maintains that a father cannot collect Dmei Chabola of his daughter, who's a Ketana, when someone else was Chovel, because the father's rights monetarily vis-a-vis his daughter are limited to the Kesef Kiddushin, they don't apply beyond that. V'chein Amar Eish Lakish, lo zichsa Torah li'av el shvach ha'na'urim bilvad. The Torah only gave the father rights to shvach ni'urim. That has nothing to do with Tmei Chavola. Therefore, the Tmei Chavola go directly to the Bas Ketana. Rabbi Yochanan, however, Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with both Rav and Reish Lakish, who now form a team. Afilu Ptsia. Even in the case of a Ptsia, which means the Chovel in some way scratched this girl, even in that case, the father collects the damages. And the Gemara understands at this point that Ptsia means there was some sort of a rip of her skin in her back, in a place that nobody sees it, and since this Ptsia is not noticeable, therefore, that doesn't reduce her Shavius. Even so, says Rabbi Yochanan, the Torah gave the father rights to collect those damages, those monies. So the Gemara asked, wait a minute, Ptsia Salkadait? That really means that the Torah gave the father rights to collect a Ptsia? I mean, what rights does he have to collect the Ptsia? Filu Rabbi Lazar, even Rabbi Lazar, who had doubts in the case of Chovel Bebas Ketana, where the father has rights to collect the Chavola, not Lo Kami Boile Ela Chavola. What kind of Chavola? Here we look at Peches Amud Aleph. The Afchisa Mikaspa, that her value went down. And then perhaps the father, since he could sell his daughter, he could marry her off and receive Kesef Kedushin, he could sell her as a Shivcha, as an Omivriya. Therefore, the monies of this Chavola, since his daughter went down in value, that's something that the father has a yad, he has a Sheiches to. Aval Ptsia, but if indeed there was some sort of a scar on her back, delo ifchasa mikaspa, her value has not in any way decreased or devaluated, is lo kami boile, Rabbi Lozen never had a suffering about that. It was poshitim that the father has no rights. How could Rabbi Yochanan say that even so the father has rights? Amar Rabbi Yossi bar Chanina, pot shepotza bifaneha. This ptsia that we're talking about, this scar, was not on her back, but rather was on her face, Rachman al-Itzlan. And therefore she, ifchasa mikaspa, she's now depreciated on the market, and when the father wants to sell her as a shivcha, he's going to get a depressed value. And therefore the Dmei Chavola go to him. By the way, Rabbi Yochanan never addressed the case of Tsar and Boshes. In those cases, the father has no chelek. He didn't lose anything, and it's for her pain. And then again, we get back to the whole discussion about smucha al shulchan aviyah or ena smucha al shulchan aviyah. But in any event, in this case of it, vis-a-vis a chovel, acherim shechovlu ba, in a bas ketana, tsar, and boshes, there clearly the money goes to the daughter herself, and again, we'll put it into escrow for the meantime, and not to the father. Now again, it's clear that Rav and Reish Lakish argue with Rabbi Yochanan. They're of the opinion that lo zichsa Torah li'av bebitah ketana tmei chabolasa, and that applies even if the daughter's value through this chavola went down. And the Rashba is bothered by this. He says, well, if hufchasa b'shavya, and now the father can't sell her as an oma at the same value, and he can't be mekadishar at the same value, then he suffered and sustained a serious financial loss. Why shouldn't he collect those nezikin? And here Rabbi Yochanan seems to be absolutely right. And not only that, the Braisa in Masechta Ksubis says that a father has chus in the chavolas of Bito, even with regard to Ptsia. And l'chora, what we're going to have to answer here to defend the shita of Rav and Reish Lakish is that Enochinami, the element of Pchisa Shovi Abbas with regard to Katnus, that for sure goes to the father. But up until a certain age, in other words, that Shivri Pchas should reflect the fact that even beyond her Katnus, she becomes a Nara, and as long as she's in the, as long as she's a ketana, she's in the reshus of the father as far as mechira, as a shivcha, and as far as kesef kedushin. So again, any that element, that variable, certainly reflects the hefsed ha'av. But what we want to know is, and this is going to be the machlok between Rav and Reish Lakish against Rabbi Yochanan, what about the p'chisus mishavya that's going to affect her long term, kol yimei chayeh? That element should be paid to the daughter rather than the father. And Rav and Reish Lakish insist that since during this period of time, beyond our maturity, the father has no zchus, he cannot be mekadisha, he cannot sell her as a shivcha. Therefore, any p'chisus in damim should clearly accrue to the daughter herself and not to the father. According to Rav Reish Lakish, any element of depreciation, devaluation, that reflects from the moment of the chavol until she finishes her katnus, that's where the father has rights, because he could sell her, etc. But the chiddush of Rav and Reish Lakish is the element of Dmei Chavola that reflects her devaluation long term, meaning for the rest of the balance of her life, even beyond her godless, when she becomes a Bulgaris, etc. That has to go to her, and the father has no rights. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan comes along with the opinion, he says that since this psia happened during Yimei Katnus, and that's the time period in which the father has rights to sell her and be Mekadisha, then the father collects the Dmei Pchisusa, even on Liachar Zman. It all depends on the moment of the Maisa Hezek. Whereas Rav and Reish Lakish say, no, let's not look at the moment of the Maisa Hezek as much as looking at the long-term repercussions of this Hezek. Okay, Amir Tzashem, in the next year, we'll begin Peches Omen Aleph.